بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lessons, we went through the upbringing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an orphan and under the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib and then his uncle Abu Talib, and the trips that he made to Syria with his uncle Abu Talib, and also his marriage to Khadija radiallahu anha. And in the last lesson, we went through how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first received revelation. And in this part of the lesson, or in this lesson, we're going to go through the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent in Mecca after prophethood and before Hijrah. The time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent in Mecca after prophethood and before Hijrah. And the author, Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he said, أَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ 13 سَنَةً, that he remained sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca 13 years. وَقِيلَ 15, and it has been said 15 years. وَقِيلَ 10, and it is said 10 years. وَالصَّحِيحَ الْأَوَّلِ, and the correct view is the first, i.e. that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he received revelation when he was 40 years old, he remained in Mecca for 13 more years. And then after this, he made hijrah to Al-Madinah Al-Nabawiyyah. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received revelation in the cave of Al-Hira, he began to give da'wah to the people, however, in secrecy. So initially, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't begin straight away and openly and publicly give da'wah to the people. In the initial stages, he gave da'wah in secrecy and he gave da'wah to those who were most closest to him. And for this reason, if you look at the first people who accepted Islam, the first man who accepted Islam was his best friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the first woman who accepted Islam was his wife As-Sayyida Khatija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And the first child who accepted Islam was his young cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, he had grown up in the house of the Prophet and Khatija radiallahu anha. And also the first to accept Islam from amongst the slaves was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. And he was a black slave from Abyssinia, who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had emancipated, he had freed him, and then he accepted Islam. And the first family to accept Islam was the family of Ali Yasir. Yasir and Sumayyah, and both of the son, who was Ammar radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And if you look at these people who accepted Islam, the men and the women and the children and the slaves, you will notice that initially they were the poor, the oppressed, the women, the slaves, the weak and the children. Generally speaking, these were the first people who accepted Islam. And this is usually the case when it comes to da'wah. Even until our time today, it's usually the case that the first people who are attracted to Islam or attracted to Tawheed or the weak, or those who have no direction, the women, or those who are going through problems. And Abu Sufyan, who was a chieftain from the Quraysh, when he went to Harqal, who was the great emperor, And at that time, Abu Sufyan was a non-Muslim. He accepted Islam later on, radiallahu anhu. But at that time, he was a non-Muslim. Abu Sufyan and Hirqal, and both of them are non-Muslims, they had a conversation with each other regarding the emergence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hirqal, he asked Abu Sufyan certain questions. And one of the questions he asked him is it the rich and powerful people who are following Muhammad, or is it the poor, weak people who are following Muhammad? And Abu Sufyan said, no, it's the poor people, the weak people who are following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought by this that he was belittling the da'wah, belittling the religion. And then later on, Harqal said to Abu Sufyan, he said, وَسَأَلْتُكَ, I asked you, أَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ اتَّبَعُوهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُمْ, that is it the people of nobility and authority, the rich people, are they the ones who are following Muhammad, or is it the weak people? فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّ ضُعَافَاءَهُمْ اتَّبَعُوهُ, and you mentioned, Abu Sufyan, that it's the weak people who are accepting this religion. And then Hirqal said, وَهَاكَذَا هُمْ أَتْبَعُ الرُّسُلُ, and this is how it has always been, i.e. the people who follow the messengers, the first people, are always the weak and the downtrodden in society, and the slaves, and the women, and the children, and so on and so forth. And as I mentioned, this also applies to da'wah. Up until today, this also applies to da'wah. Of course, the da'wah to Islam and the da'wah to Tawheed is for everybody. It's for the rich and the poor. It's for those who are weak and those who are in authority. However, in the majority of the cases, it's the poor and the weak and those who are downtrodden, those who are anxious, who enter into Islam, and the women as well. And for this reason, today, even in Britain, in the West, 4 times as many women enter into Islam than men. And yet they claim that Islam, it oppresses the women. And why is it that these people accept Islam first? Because when Islam comes, Islam gives them the direction which they are looking for. And Islam gives them the rights which they have been denied in society. And Islam removes the anxieties which they have. Islam gives them the guidance and the direction which they're searching for. And Islam gives them a belonging when they have no belonging in society. And also, for example, the women who are oppressed and the women who are treated as just objects of desire, of materialistic desire. Islam comes and they're searching for something. They're searching for Islam. And then Islam empowers the women and respects the women and gives the women an honor and a status in society. And for this reason, they accept Islam first. And they're usually attracted to Islam. So these people are usually wandering around society and they don't really belong anywhere. They don't have a sense of direction. They're lost. They've got problems in their lives. And Islam comes and gives them these rights and this direction. Of course, as I mentioned, this is in the majority of cases. However, it isn't always the case. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to also target those who were in authority and those who were rich. Because if those who are rich and the chieftains of the tribes, if they accept Islam, then hundreds of people behind them will also accept Islam. And the proof of this is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make. He used to say, Allahumma hdi, or Allahumma a'izzal Islam min ahabbar rajulaini ilayka. He used to say, oh Allah, honor Islam through one of the two men who are most beloved to you, Umar ibn al-Khattab or Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided Umar radiallahu anhu to Islam. So also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though it was the poor and the downtrodden and the women who used to enter into Islam, but at the same time used to also call other people to Islam and make dua that they enter into Islam. Because if they enter into Islam and they're the leaders of the society, then many people behind them will also enter into Islam. Also, it's a mistake to think that every new Muslim only enters into Islam because they're living a life in which there is no happiness and which there is no fulfillment, or in which they're oppressed. And this is not always the case. Often, non-Muslims will accept Islam and they are happy with their life materialistically. And they might have a sense of fulfillment and even a sense of direction. But Islam also agrees with the fitrah of the people. The worship of one Lord, one deity alone, this agrees with the fitrah of the people. So don't always think that those people who have accepted Islam, they only accepted Islam because they were living this sad and wretched life. No. Often if you speak to new Muslims, they will tell you that they were living materialistically very happy. And even a sense of fulfillment and even a sense of direction. Maybe some of them were charitable and doing many good things. But a tawheed. And that tawheed attracts and fits in with the fitrah of the people. So after the Prophet spent a while, a number of years, in giving da'wah in secrecy to only his close members. And this was about 3 years. Then after 3 years, Allah revealed ayat ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to now go public with his da'wah and openly proclaim the da'wah and don't leave it just to his direct family and friends. And Allah said in the Quran, "Fasda' bima tu'mar." Declare, meaning openly declare that which you have been commanded. "Wa'arid 'anil mushrikeen." And stay away from the mushrikeen. "Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een." Verily, We will suffice you from those who mock you. And Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, "Ma zala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustakhfiyan." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is to be hidden in his da'wah, "hatta nazalat hadhihi al-ayah." Until this ayah was revealed, "fa kharaja huwa wa ashabuhu." And then he and his companions, they came out with the da'wah. And they began to openly call people to Islam. And also Allah revealed in this time, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And go warn your closest tribesmen, the people of your tribe. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower the wings of humility and humbleness for those who have followed you from the believers. So when these two ayat were revealed, and Allah ordered the Prophet, فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Declare openly that which you have been commanded, either message to Tawheed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to openly call the people to At-Tawheed. And it was in this instance when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to Al-Batha and he climbed the mountain Jabal As-Safa and he called the tribes. And we mentioned the story in the previous lesson. He called the tribes. He said, "Ya Bani Abd Manaf, Ya Bani Hashim, Ya Bani Fulan, Ya Bani Fulan." And he called all those tribes. And then he said to them, "Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha." And this word Sabaha, it was a code which was used to inform the people that there's an army about to attack. They would use this as a code word. So whenever a person climbed the mountain and shouted, "Ya Sabaha," then the people would rush and they would know it is an emergency, something serious. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called all his tribes, and name by name, tribe by tribe. He said, "Ara'aytum in haddathtukum anna al-aduwa musabbihukum aw mumassikum, akuntum musaddiqi?" That if I was to inform you that there is an army and it's coming to attack you in the morning or in the evening, would you believe me? And all of the tribes who were gathered, they said, "Na'am, ma jarrabna minka kathiba." They said, "Of course, we've never experienced that you ever lie. مَا جَرَّبْنَا مِنْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا." We only experience from you that you speak the truth. Because he was a Sadiq al-Amin. So then he said to them, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدِي عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Then, if you hold to me to be truthful and I don't lie, then you should know that I have come to warn you of a terrible punishment. And then he called them to Tawheed. And he told them to stay away from the idols. One of the people who was there was his uncle Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab was also a respected chieftain. And he said, "Alihada jama'atana?" Then is it because of this message you've gathered us all here today? And then he said to him, "Tabban laka." May you be perished. And then Allah revealed the ayah, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab." May the hands of Abu Lahab, may they be perished. So this was in this instance. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began after this calling the people to at-tawheed. And the news of Islam, it began spreading. The traders who would come in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would talk to them. Those traders who came from various regions, the delegates that came from different tribes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would talk to them. He would go to the marketplaces and say to the people, "Aslimu tuflihu." Accept Islam and you will be successful. Accept Islam and you will be successful. Also, even before Islam, there was still Hajj. Even the mushrikun, they used to do a version of Hajj. So when the Hujjaj used to come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would also call them to Islam. And as Islam was spreading slowly, slowly, person by person, people accepting Islam, then also the animosity and the plots of the Quraysh also grew stronger. And they went to his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, as we discussed, was the Prophet was very beloved to him. And Abu Talib, even though he was a mushrik, he used to support his nephew because of his closeness to his nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quraysh came to him and they said, "You need to stop supporting him, you need to stop giving him refuge." And Abu Talib refused. And then more and more the punishment and the trials from the Quraysh, it increased as time went on. And the Quraysh, they used to use their weak, foolish ones to try to humiliate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is often the case, that when you have a group of people and they want to try to speak against the truth, it won't be the leader who's courageous enough to come and speak and do things. Rather, they try to encourage the foolish ones amongst them to go forward and do things which are foolish, so that the reputation of the person on top, it remains safe. And they used to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a liar, and they called him a poet, a sha'ir, and they called him a sahir, a magician, and they called him majnoon, a madman, and many other insults and nicknames they gave to the Prophet. If somebody would come to Mecca, before that person could meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody from the Quraysh would go to that person. "Don't listen to this man Muhammad. He is a kahin, a magician, a fortune teller. He is this, he is that." Trying to prevent the people from listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More than this, when the Prophet would walk sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would throw litter and rubbish and dirt in front of him. And when he would make sujood, then some of the foolish amongst them would come and they would take the intestines of an animal or the dirt of an animal and throw it at our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or place it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is in sujood. And also punish his companions in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't able to do anything. So one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was walking, and the family Ali Yasir, which we mentioned, they were being punished. And the only thing that the Prophet could say, "Sabran ya Ali Yasir," be patient, O family of Yasir. "Fa'inna maw'idakum al-jannah," because your final abode will be al-jannah. And the companion is being tortured in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all this was in line with what Warqat ibn Nawfal had said right at the beginning. If you remember the story, Warqat ibn Nawfal, who was a cousin or an uncle of Khadija radiallahu anha, a relative, and he was a Christian monk, he said, "Ma jaa ahadun bima jitta bihi qat illa udiya wa udiya," that nobody before you has come with this same message that which you have come with, except that person has been made out to be an enemy and he has been tortured and he has been exiled from his land. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to Waraqa, he said, "Awa mukhrijiyahum," that will my people exile me from my own land, meaning my uncles and my aunties and my cousins and my tribes people who know me and they trust me and I am a sadiq al-ameen with them. But it was the message of at-tawheed. And also the Quraysh, they took different steps and different strategies to to try to stop the blessed da'wah of At-Tawheed, the blessed da'wah of Al-Islam. So on one side, there was pressure and sanctions and punishment and torture and threats. On the other side, trying to undermine him by going to his uncle. And then on the other side, trying to bribe him and tempt him with the matters of the dunya. And as people were accepting into Islam, and by this time Hamza radiallahu anhu had entered into Islam, the Quraysh, they were sitting in the haram in front of the Kaaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was praying salah on his own in a corner. So when he finished praying salah, one from the Quraysh, whose name was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, this person, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he said to the Quraysh, why don't you allow me to go to Muhammad and speak to him? Maybe I can speak to him, maybe I can offer him with certain things, and maybe then he will stop this religion. And Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he was one of the wise people from amongst the Quraysh, respected amongst them all, somebody of intelligence, somebody who is aqil, and trusted. So much so, some of them used to say, in some of the narrations, that if we wished for the Quran to be revealed upon anybody, it would have been Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. However, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he died upon kufr. So Utbah, he said to the chieftains of the Quraysh, and they are sitting there, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there in the corner. He said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O congregation of Quraysh, Ala aqumu ila Muhammadin fa'ukallimahu? Should I not stand up and go to Muhammad and speak to him? Wa a'ridu alayhi umura? And I'll offer him certain matters. لَعَلَّهُ يَقْبَلُ بَعْضَهَا Maybe he will accept some of these matters, meaning financial incentives or other types of incentives. فَنُعْطِيهِ أَيَّهَا شَاءَ وَيَكُفُّ عَنْهَا And then whatever he wants from these incentives, we will give them, and then he will stop his message. So they said to him, the Quraysh, Bala ya Abul Walid. Of course, O Abu Walid. Qum ilayhi fakallimhu. Go, approach him and go speak to him. Offer him whatever you feel is reasonable. Faqama ilayhi Utbah hatta jalasa ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Utbah, he stood up, he approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until he sat close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said to the Prophet with adab, with good manners. He said, Yabna akhi, innaka minna. He said, Oh my nephew, you are one of us. You're from our tribe, you're from our family. Ataita qawmaka bi amrin azim. And this message which you have come to the people is something which is severe. Faraqta bihi jama'atahum. You have split the ranks of your people. Wasaffahta bihi ahlamahum. And you have wasted their dreams and the visions which they used to have. وَعِبْتَ بِهِ آلِهَتَهُمْ And you have insulted their gods. وَدِينَهُمْ And you have insulted their religion. وَكَفَّرْتَ بِهِ مَنْ مَضَى مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ And you have also rejected their forefathers who came before them. فَاسْمَعْ مِنِّي أَعْرِضُ عَلَيْكَ أُمُورًا So listen from me, and I'm going to give you certain incentives. تَنْظُرُ فِيهِ And you can consider these incentives. لَعَلَّكَ تَقْبَلُ مِنْهَا بَعْضَهَا Perhaps some of them you will accept. And notice that he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with intelligence, with adab, diplomatically, even though he is a kafir mushrik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to him in a similar manner, in a similar fashion, diplomatically. He said, قُلْ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدْ أَسْمَعْ He said, speak. Say what you have to say and I'm going to listen. So then he said, Yabna akhi. Utbah said, Yabna akhi. O my nephew. In kunta innama turidu bima ji'ta bihi min hadhal amr malan. He said, if through this message which you have come with, if you want money, if it's money that you desire, jama'na laka min amwalina. Then we will gather our wealth for you. And we will give our money to you. Hatta takuna aktharana mala. Until you will be the wealthiest amongst us, if this is what you want. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ شَرَفًا And if through this message you want sharaf, nobility, a position, a status, he said, سَوَّدْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا حَتَّى لَا نَقْطَعَ أَمْرًا دُونَكَ Then we will give you that authority. We will give you that status. We will give you that nobility until we listen. We won't decide anything against you. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ مُلْكًا مَلَّكْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا. And if you want kingdom, governance, then we will give you the kingdom over us. وَإِن كَانَ هَذَا الَّذِي يَأْتِيكَ رُؤْيَا تَرَاهُ لَا تَسْتَطِعِ رَدَّهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ طَلَبْنَا لَكَ الطِّبْ. And if this message which you are coming to the people with is visions, hallucinations, a type of illness that you can't get rid of, then we will seek medicine for you and we will try to cure you. And in all of these incentives and in all of this discussion, the Prophet ﷺ didn't interrupt him because he was speaking diplomatically to somebody who's being respectful to him. When he had finished, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَقَدْ فَرَغْتَ يَا أَبُ الْوَلِيدِ. Have you finished, O Abu al-Walid? قَالَ نَعْمْ. He said, yes. So then the Prophet said to him, فَاسْمَعْ مِنِّي. So now you hear from me. And then Utbah said, أَفْعَلُ. I listen to you. As you listen to me, I will listen to you. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he replied back to him. He said, listen to me. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. حَامِيمِ. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. A revelation from Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُ. A book in which its ayat have been detailed. قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. A Qur'an which has been revealed in Arabic for people who do know. بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And this Qur'an, it gives glad tidings. And this Qur'an, it comes with a warning. فَأَعْرَضَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And yet many of them turn away and they do not listen. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ. And they say that our hearts are in coverings from that which you call us to. وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ. And also our ears have been deafened. وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابٌ. And between us and between you and your message is a partition. فَعْمَلْ إِنَّنَا عَامِلُونَ. So you do what you want and we will do what we want. قُلْ. Allah said to the Prophet, قُلْ. Say to him, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. That verily, I am only a human being like you. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. But it has been revealed to me, أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. That your Lord is only one Lord. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. So be upright in worshipping him and seek forgiveness. وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. And woe be upon those who commit a shirk. And the narrator of this story, he mentions that Utbah, when the Prophet started speaking to him, he sat like this with his two hands at his behind his back, just listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in complete silence. Listen to what he had to say. And then Utbah went back to the Quraysh. And the Quraysh, they noticed that there's something different with Utbah. Until some of them said, نَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ أَبُ الْوَلِيدِ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبَ بِهِ. That we swear by Allah, Abu al-Walid, meaning Utbah, he's coming with a different look on his face than when he went. So, after this, Abu al-Walid, Utbah, he sat with the rest of the Quraysh. They said, مَا وَرَاءَكَ يَا أَبُ الْوَلِيدِ. That was in your mind, O Abu al-Walid. So, Utbah, he began telling them about the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he offered him wealth, the incentive of wealth, of authority, of nobility, of kingdom, of medicine, and this is what the Prophet gave him. He said to them, وَرَاءِ أَنِّي سَمِعْتُ قَوْلًا. He said, what I am thinking is that I have heard a statement, مَا سَمِعْتُ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ. I have never ever heard anything like it ever. He said, مَا هُوَ بِشِعْرِ. It isn't poetry. وَلَا بِالسِّحْرِ. And it isn't magic. وَلَا بِالْكَهَانَ. And it isn't fortune telling. He said, يَا مَعَشَرَ قُرَيْشِ. O congregation of Quraysh. أَطِيعُونِي وَجْعَلُوهَا بِي. He said, just obey me. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. خَلُّوا بَيْنَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ مَا هُوَ فِي. Leave this man. Whatever this man is calling to him, leave him and allow him to call to his message. فَاَعْتَزِلُوهُ. And just stay away from him. Isolate yourselves from him. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَيَكُونَنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي سَمِعْتُ مِنْهُ نَبَأٌ عَظِيمٌ. He said, by Allah. And he's a mushrik, kafir. He said, by Allah, this statement which I heard from this man is going to have a great acceptance amongst the people. فَإِن تُصِبْهُ الْعَرَبْ فَقَدْ كَفَيْتُمُوهُ بِغَيْرِكُمْ. So if the other Arabs kill him and fight him, then that's sufficient for you. They're doing your job and they are fighting him. وَإِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَى الْعَرَبِ. And if he's victorious over the other Arabs, فَمُلْكُهُ مُلْكُكُمْ. Then his kingdom will also be your kingdom, because both of you from the Quraysh. وَعِزُّهُ عِزُّكُمْ. And his honor will also be your honor, because the people will say that a man from the Quraysh has defeated the other Arabs. وَكُنْتُمْ أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِهِ. So let him call to his message and you will be more successful. Don't fight him. This replied the Quraysh. They said, سَحَرَكَ وَاللَّهِ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ بِلِسَانِهِ. That Muhammad, with his tongue, he has forced a spell upon you. Utwa replied to them, هَذَا رَأْيِ فِيهِ. That this is my opinion regarding him. فَاسْنَعُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ. Now do whatever you want to do. The reason why I mention this particular story is because there are some deviated groups, some of the Jama'at al-Islamiyyah, who have a political nature, and they say that the sole intention of the Prophet behind his da'wah was a political movement. Some of them say these words. They say the movement of the Prophet, it was a political movement. Some of them say that the first thing he called to was the authority. He wanted the authority. He wanted to remove the rulers. This story clarifies to us that if this is what the Prophet wanted, the Quraysh were ready to offer it to him. The Quraysh said, if it's money you want, we'll give you the money. If it's nobility you want, we'll give you the nobility. If it's mulk, governance and authority over us, if this is what you want, if this is your movement, then we will make you our government, our king, our authority. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his movement wasn't a political movement. His call wasn't to authority. Otherwise, he could have had it in Mecca, save himself all the trouble. His call was to establishing a tawheed. And this is what we have to understand. So these Jama'at al-Islamiyyah and these groups who use Islam as a tool of politics and to gain authority, and they start their da'wah by talking about hakmiyyah and making takfir of the rulers and removing the rulers, this is clear deviation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent to establish a tawheed, with a kingdom or without a kingdom. And if you look at the prophets and the messengers, all of them, so many prophets and messengers, how many of them ever achieved a government? Only two or three. Yusuf alayhi salam, it could be said that he achieved a kingdom, government. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it could be said Musa alayhi salam also possibly. All the other prophets and the messengers, many of them died and only a small group of people followed them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was taken up to the heavens, and we'll discuss this in the next lesson, he said, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِي وَمَعَهُ. I saw a prophet and with him was a group of people. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ رَجُلٌ رَجُلَيْنِ. And I saw another prophet and with him was only one or two men who accepted his message. وَرَأَيْتُ نَبِيًّا وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. And I also saw prophets and there was nobody who followed them, nobody who accepted them. Just because they didn't have a government or governance or authority, does that mean that their message was a failure? No, it isn't. So this is clear deviation on their behalf. Ala kulli hal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he remained in Mecca for this time, calling people to Islam. And slowly, people were accepting Islam, and yet the Quraysh were becoming more and more severe. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to go to another place and see if the people in that place are more responsive to the da'wah. So he went to a place, At-Ta'if. And At-Ta'if is a mountainous region, which is a good few kilometers away from Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he walked all the way there by foot, in order to spread At-Tawheed. When he went to this place, he hoped that the people of Ta'if, they will accept his message. He hoped that the people of Taif will have some sense and they will be more accepting than the Quraysh in Mecca. However, the people in At-Taif, they rejected the Prophet even more severe than what the people of the Quraysh did. And they pelted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with stones, and they made his feet bleed, and they humiliated him. And it wasn't the soldiers of the people of Taif who were doing this, but the leaders in Taif, they got their slaves and their children to pelt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Not only physical humiliation, but also humiliation in terms of on an emotional level, belittling the Prophet, that it's our kids and our slaves who are going to humiliate him. And this was your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was so severe upon the Prophet that there was no battle which the Prophet fought, not Uhud, not Ahzab, no battle which was more severe than this day. Later on in Medina, Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, hal marra bika yawmun ashaddu alayka min yawmi Uhud? That is, there any other day which you have passed by which was more severe upon you than the battle of Uhud, on that day in which he was injured and his tooth was broken and his cheek or his forehead was injured and made to bleed, on that day in which they were that close to a defeat, in which his uncle Hamza was martyred, 70 other companions were martyred. She said, is there any other day which was more severe than that day? And the Prophet replied, that day in At-Taif. This was more severe. And when the Prophet was returning from Taif, and he was down, and he was dejected, and he was worrying, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her that, I came dejected and sudden, and I sat down under a tree. He said, ثُمَّ رَفَعْتُ رَأْسِي, and then I raised my head, فَقَدْ أَظَلَّتْنِي جِبْرِيلِ, and I saw Jibreel and he was shading me. And then Jibreel said to the Prophet, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ سَمِعَ قَوْلَ قَوْمِكَ لَكَ. Verily, Allah heard the statement of those people towards you, the people of Taif, what they have said to you. وَمَا رَدُّ عَلَيْكَ, and Allah heard how they have treated you. وَقَدْ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ مَلَكَ الْجِبَالِ, and Allah has sent to you the angel of the mountains. لِتَأْمُرَهُ بِمَا شِئْتَ فِيهِمْ, so you can order the angel of the mountains to do what you want with the people of At-Ta'if. The Prophet said, فَنَادَانِي مَلَكَ الْجِبَالِ, and then the angel of the mountains, he called out to me. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيَّ, he gave me the salam. And then he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, إِن شِئْتَ أَنْ أُطَبِّقَ عَلَيْهِمَ الْأَخْشَبَيْنِ لَفَعَلْتُ, if you want me to destroy the people of Ta'if between the two mountains, I will destroy them. Whatever you want me to do. Your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, he said, بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the angel of the mountains, that no, I have hope, I have optimism, that maybe Allah will bring from their children those who worship Allah alone and they do not commit a shirk. And this shows us that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in reality, he was Nabiyu Rahmah. He was the Prophet of mercy. At that instance, when they had humiliated him and made him bleed, the children and the slaves, he could have told the angel of the mountains to destroy them then and there. But optimism and being positive and mercy, that if they're not guided, maybe their children will be guided. And if it's not their children, maybe their grandchildren will be guided. So this was the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his da'wah in Makkah. According to Tawheed and being patient upon the harms and the troubles and replying with that which is better. Like Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ, do not obey the disbelievers. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, and fight the jihad against them with it, the major type of jihad. This ayah was revealed in Mecca. The legislation of jihad was revealed in Al-Madina. And yet Allah said in this ayah, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, do the jihad against them with it, the big jihad, the major jihad. The ulama mention that when Allah said make jihad with it, i.e. with the Quran, with knowledge, with a da'wah. Because in Makkah there was no physical jihad. Also, there is one more thing that we need to speak about. And that is that whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah, what was his da'wah based upon? What was his da'wah focused upon? And if you consider the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was in Makkah, you will see that it was based upon at-tawheed. The da'wah of the Prophet in Makkah, it revolved around at-tawheed and at-taqwa and developing iman in the hearts of the people and getting people to love Allah and fear Allah and hope in the mercy of Allah and fear the punishment of Allah. Getting people to be pious and refining their adab, refining their manners, and also getting them to love Jannah and getting them to be afraid of Jahannam. This was the focus of the da'wah whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah. And this was also the way in how the Quran was revealed. The Quran, as you know, it wasn't revealed all in one go. Rather, the Quran was revealed ayah by ayah, surah by surah, over 23 years of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a difference between the message of the ayat in Makkah and the message of the ayat in Al-Madina. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions, and the narration is in Sahih Bukhari, what was the message of the ayat which were revealed in Makkah. She said, and as I mentioned, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. She said, إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ أَوَّلَ مَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ سُوَرًا مِنَ الْمُفَصَّلِ. She said that the first chapters of the Qur'an which were revealed were the surah from Al-Mufassal. And Al-Mufassal is the latter part of the Qur'an in which there are shorter chapters from Surah Qaf all the way to Surah An-Nas. This is Al-Mufassal. She said, فِيهَا ذِكْرُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. That these chapters, the Mufassal, the latter chapters, they contain a mention of Jannah and the fire. This is the majority of these ayat. And this is correct. If you look at, for example, Juz Amma, the 30th Juz, the majority of the Juz is regarding Yawm Al-Qiyamah, is regarding Allah, is regarding reward, is regarding punishment, is regarding Iman, is regarding At-Taqwa, and these types of messages. An-Nazi'at, Amma Yatasa'aloon, Al-Qari'ah, and the other surahs which have been revealed, all of it is regarding Al-Jannah and Jahannam and Taqwa and Tawheed and this type of message. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the first things which were revealed from the Quran were the chapters of Mufassal. Fiha dhikru jannati wal nar. And the majority of what is in it is a mention of Jannah and the fire. Hatta idha thab an-nasu ilay. Until the people became attached to this message. I.e. until people had developed taqwa and their hearts were rectified. They developed tawheed. They began to love Jannah. They began to fear Jahannam. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ. Then Allah revealed halal and haram. Meaning the first thing which Allah revealed in the Quran throughout Makkah was that which pertains to the heart. Not the sins and the obligations of the limbs. The halal and the haram, they were revealed later on. And we have to pay attention to this. Then she said, وَلَوْ نَزَلَ أَوَّلَ مَا نَزَلَ لَا تَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرُ لَقَالَ النَّاسِ لَا نَدَعُ الْخَمْرَ أَبَدًا. She said that if the first thing which was revealed in the Quran was do not drink alcohol, do not take intoxicants, the people would have said, we will never abandon alcohol. The same people. She's talking about the same Sahaba, meaning these Sahaba who have now accepted Islam because of the message of Jannah and Jahannam and Taqwa and Tawheed and Iman and fearing Allah and loving Allah, and they became firm in their heart. If the first thing that came to the same people was, do not drink alcohol, they would have said, we will never leave alcohol. وَلَوْ كَانَ أَوَّلَ مَا نَزَلَ لَا تَزْنُ. And if the first thing which was revealed was, do not commit adultery, لَقَالَ النَّاسِ, these same very people would have said, لَا نَدَعُ الزِّنَا أَبَدًا. We will never abandon الزِّنَا. The reason why I mention this is because if we consider the life of the Prophet in Makkah, it's very similar to the life which we are living today here. So for example, at that time, the Prophet lived in Darul Kufr. We are living in Darul Kufr. Around him was shirk and kufr. Around us is shirk and kufr. Around him was so many sins. Around us are sins. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he concentrated on rectifying the hearts of the people, calling to at-tawheed. And this worked. And also us, our manhaj in da'wah should also be concentrating on at-tawheed and developing taqwa in the people and refining the manners of the people and getting people to love and desire Jannah and fear and dread Jahannam. This doesn't mean that we ignore the sins of the limbs or we don't talk about the individual issues. Of course we talk about the individual issues, but we have to understand that these individual issues like alcohol, gambling, drugs, gangs, all of this is due to a lack of tawheed. All of it is due to a lack of iman, a lack of fear in Allah.